Welcome to LHA Church. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Jerry Galloway, lead pastor here at Lighthouse Assembly. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'll take them out and turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Isaiah chapter 9. And as you're turning there, I just do want to remind you, beginning next Sunday will be our holiday service schedule, which is going to be different from what you're accustomed to. The next three Sundays, we'll have one service at 10 o'clock. One service at 10 o'clock. So if you show up at 10:45, you'll be late. If you come to the 9 o'clock service, you'll be early and you can practice with the choir. And so I want to encourage you, just remember that the next three Sundays, the 17th, 24th, and the 31st, one service at 10 o'clock. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 is where we're heading. You know, it's the Christmas season, and it's during the Christmas season that we find the fulfillment and the plan, the purpose of God. The child that is born in Bethlehem was a birth that would change everything. It was a birth that would change the course of time. It was a birth that would change your life and my life. Now, do not be mistaken, there have been many babies born. In fact, everyone here was a baby at one time or another. And all of us were born, and our lives have changed the lives of those around us. Brother Wayne, could you help me with that picture? This is Miss Cora. This is Leonard and Sandy's granddaughter. And I've not seen a couple changed more. Grandparents changed more than these two since this baby arrived. For some reason, they keep finding a reason to drive down to Mark and Katie's house. And, you know, I never remember them going to Mark and Katie's house as many times before this baby was born. This baby has changed everything. And I see, you know, Sandy is putting on Facebook a lot of times pictures of her. And this was her dedication picture. And she's putting a lot of pictures, but I don't see Mark on there very much. Sandy's not posting her baby. She's posting Mark's baby. And it's amazing how babies can change our lives. They change our perspective on life. They change our priorities. We begin to think different about life. And not only just about life, but we begin to think about the things that are ahead of us. And we know this Christmas season is about a baby that was born in Bethlehem. And I would tell you, this baby, there were many other babies born in Bethlehem, but none was like this baby. He was no ordinary baby. No other child would be like him. There would be no other mother like Mary. And the question that you and I, as we are approaching the Christmas holiday, and life is so busy and life is so hectic, I want to ask you today, what difference will your life make? What difference will be made in your life as a result of this baby being born in Bethlehem? How will you and I be different as a result of this child being born? How will our lives be impacted because this baby was born in Bethlehem? You see, Isaiah, through the power of the Holy Spirit, penned the words for us in our text for today. And what they do is they give us the true nature of Jesus Christ. His birth would literally change everything. The stable in Bethlehem was not the end of the story. The stable in Bethlehem was actually the launching pad that would bring about the fulfillment and the plan of God for you and for me. My prayer, my desire, my goal, if you will, for today is I want to point you to him. I want you to see him today for who he is. I want you to see him more than just a good Christmas story. I want you to see him more than just a man of history. But I want you to see him today as the one that changed everything forever. And he's the one, my friend, that can change your life and my life. Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7, we find that 2,700 years ago, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words: "For to us a child is born, and to us a son will be given." I want you to take special notice of those phrases. The gift was for you. For to us the child would be born. To us the Son will be given and the government will be upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, I like this, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And this morning, I want to encourage you to leave your Bible open or your electronic device. And what we're going to do is we're going to walk through these two verses together this morning, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. And we're going to find some things in there about his birth that changed everything. The first thing we find in verse number 6, the word says this: he is called the Wonderful Counselor. He's the Wonderful Counselor. Has there ever been a time in your life where you needed some counsel? You needed some words of wisdom? You had a situation you needed an answer to? You had a problem that presented itself that you couldn't figure out, and you needed somebody to speak the right words into your life? Friend, I want to declare to you today that Jesus Christ has the answer to every question and a solution for every problem. There is nothing, absolutely nothing. Can you say nothing? There is nothing that stumps him. There's nothing that confuses him. He is the omniscient one. What does that mean? He knows everything. Have you ever met some people thought they knew everything? Come on, you're being quiet this morning. Some of y'all are poking the person next to you. Yeah, I was telling you, you thought you know everything, don't you? The Bible says he really does know everything. There's not a problem that he doesn't have an answer to. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 25 says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." Friend, I declare to you today that Jesus Christ has it all. If there are times when you're weary in mind, Matthew 11 and 28 makes this declaration: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." My friend, he is the good shepherd that leads us beside the still waters. He's the good shepherd that even though we're in the valley he restores our soul. He's the one that's watching over us. He's the one who's taking care of us. Friend, he is the best answer you could ever get to your life. The Bible declares him to be the Wonderful Counselor. He can lead you when nobody else can lead you. He can help you when nobody else can help you. Jesus Christ has the answer for it all. Man may get stumped. Jesus Christ never gets stumped. He is the Wonderful Counselor. If you need worldly basic goods, needs in your life, Matthew 6 and 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Philippians 4 and 19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." If you're faced with things in life that cause you to worry, and the truth is, we've all been there before. The Bible tells us in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled, and neither be afraid." Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Why? Because he's just our Wonderful Counselor. He's the one that'll bring us through every situation that we face. We find the disciples out on the sea. They're in the midst of a storm. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said these words: "Do not be afraid. Take courage, because I am here." Whew. You know, when I was a little kid, there was times I'd get afraid and I'd hear my mom's voice or my dad's voice say, "It's all right, I'm right here with you. I'm right here with you." And it would bring solace to my heart. It'd bring peace to my heart. Listen, friend, you can't go anywhere where he won't go with you. You can't go to a valley so deep he won't go with you. He's not afraid of the storms. He's not afraid of the fire. He's not afraid of the troubles. He's not afraid. How many of y'all know he's not afraid to get right in the middle of a good old fight? There's a lot of people say, no, I don't want any part of that. Jesus says, I'll get between you and the enemy. I'll stand, and he says, you got to go through me to get to them because they're my kid. Listen, friend, everything you need, he's able to give. He is the wonderful counselor. And you know, there's a lot of times in our Christian faith, we want to be able to share about Jesus. We want to be able to share about the word. We want to be a good witness about what Jesus done in our life. And let me just pause right there and tell you, friend, you need to tell other people about Jesus. Thank you, Paula. Let me back that up. Friend, you need to tell other people about Jesus. How many of you would say today, Jesus is the best thing ever happened in my life? Would you lift your hand? Now, I don't know about you, but I have some good things happen in my life, and I get excited to tell other people. You know, in a couple weeks, some of y'all may get some things that you've been wanting for Christmas, and you'll be telling them, guess what they got me? Guess what they gave me? Guess what I unwrapped today? Man, it's the greatest thing you've ever seen. You've never seen anything like this. Nobody has anything like what I've got. Let me tell you, friend, that's going to be here, and 6 months later, you won't even remember what they got you for Christmas. But Jesus Christ comes in. He never gets old. It never gets old walking with Jesus. In fact, it gets better and better and better every day you walk with him. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. I want to tell you, if you've not been telling other people about Jesus, you're missing the boat. I encourage you to tell them. How will they know? The Bible says unless we tell them. But the good news is he's the wonderful counselor. He'll give you what you need. Acts 1:8. Says these words, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses unto me. He says, I'll give you what you need. And friend, when you get afraid, there's a lot of times we say, well, I don't want to speak out because I'm afraid they may have a question that I don't have an answer to. You may say, you know what, I'm kind of quiet, I'm kind of shy, and I kind of feel awkward about speaking out. Well, that's kind of the way that the disciples were. Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, this is how Jesus responded to them. He said, don't worry about how you're going to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking, it'll be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Friend, I want to encourage you. Be bold in your faith. Be bold to share with Jesus, with others, the good news about Jesus Christ. He'll give you the words to speak. The Bible tells us if we are weak, in John 5:8, Jesus said to the man, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. For his strength is perfect, friend, when our strength is gone. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. It has been said that Jesus has a counsel for every crisis, a plan for every problem in your life, a direction for every dilemma that you face, a prescription for every pain you have endured, and a message to speak to every man, woman, boy, and girl. Jesus Christ is the wonderful counselor. It goes on to say there in Isaiah's prophecy, not only is he the wonderful counselor, but it says he will be called the mighty God. Jesus, the mighty God. Jesus is the God-man. You see, Christmas is about the incarnation when God took on flesh and became a man. He's not just any baby born in Bethlehem. He was born fully God and fully man. It was prophesied of him that he would be called Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. When Jesus was born, listen to this. When he was born, he was older than his mother, but the same age as his father. Before time began, Jesus Christ existed with his heavenly father. In fact, the Bible records in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word, talking about Jesus, was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Notice this. Through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus Christ came down from the glories of heaven. He was born in a manger in that stable in Bethlehem. Later in his life, he was hidden for the fear of the man trying to kill him. They hid him in Egypt. Then his parents raised him in Nazareth. He was baptized by John in the Jordan River. He was tempted by the enemy in the wilderness. And later Jesus was crucified on Calvary's cross. And the good news is on the third day, he rose again from the grave. He performed miracles on the roadside. He healed without medicine at hand. He opened blind eyes. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He conquered everything that came up against him. I don't know about you, but I've had some things come up against me, and I've not always won. I like the fact that everything that came up against Jesus, he conquered it. He confounded the wisdom of those who confronted him. He silenced his adversaries with a word of authority. He cast out demons and devils with a word. There's never been one like him, and yet there'll never be another like him. Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, took your sin and my sin to Calvary, and he died for you and I and this whole world on an old rugged cross, and he ascended to the Heavenly Father. And today, he died 2,000 years ago, but today he's sitting at the right hand of God, and he's not there just being bored. Listen, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding on your behalf and my behalf. He's still not in Bethlehem. He's over Bethlehem. He's still not in the manger. He's the God who got up out of the manger, got up out of the tomb, and he's sitting there today at the right hand of God interceding on our behalf. So listen, everything you ever face, you can know this: the mighty God has it. Any problem you face, the mighty God is over it. He is the mighty God, the Bible says. Listen to these passages. Psalm 147 and 5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. Zephaniah 3 and 17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one to save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love, and he'll exult over you with loud singing. Psalm 62 and 11. Once God has spoken, twice I've heard this: power belongs to God. Can you say amen? Psalm 95 and 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Friend, he is the mighty God. There is none like him. Jesus Christ provides free healing and full salvation. He can change you and turn your life around. What you and I can't do in a lifetime, Jesus Christ can do in a moment. You see, Jesus precedes all others in their priority. He exceeds all others in their superiority, and he succeeds all others in their finality. Indeed, Jesus Christ truly is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the mighty God. Number three that we see in the passage, he is the wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God. What else does it say? He is the eternal Father. He's the eternal Father. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he existed before Bethlehem began. He's always been, yet he'll always be. He has no beginning, therefore he'll have no ending. Christ was God in the flesh, and Christ will still be God when eternity begins for you and I. He will still be God long after the nations lie in the dust of what once was. He'll still be God when every man who's ever raised his fist towards heaven and said, "There is no God, I defy you, God." He'll still be on the throne when that man's returned to the dust from which God created him. Isaiah says these words: "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an everlasting rock." Friend, he'll be God when our short and vaporous life is over. He'll still be God when all of our questions have been answered with a heavenly understanding. He'll still be God when all of our weaknesses are turned into strengths. He'll still be God after our defeats have become our victories. He'll be still God when this life on earth is ended and you and I step from this earth into the expanse of eternity and time shall be no more. He is the eternal Father. Not only is he the eternal Father, but the scripture goes on to say this. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And the scripture goes on to define and describe his domain. You see, this passage is prophetic because it will not be fully realized until the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. During that millennial reign, our Savior will rule and reign over all the earth. The establishment of the kingdom will rest upon his shoulders. The life expectancy of his kingdom is summed up in the words of Isaiah of the greatness of his government and peace. I like these words. There will be no end. No end. No end. Now, you and I know right now, how many of y'all know things are getting shook up a little bit in Washington, D.C. right now? It's like every day you turn on the news, somebody else has got this scandal and somebody else has got this thing going on. And some of y'all, you know, we have a president. Some of y'all are happy he's in office. Some of you are not so happy he's in office. And we have these times where we say, man, I can't wait till they get out of office. And other times we say, man, I wish they could stay in office a whole lot longer. But, you know, all we know is an end to those things. The Bible says of Jesus' government, of his rule, and over his reign, there will be no end. Listen, friend, it doesn't matter who's in Washington. They're never going to make you completely happy. But things are going to be different when Jesus Christ sets up his government, sets up his kingdom on this earth. It's going to be different this time when Jesus comes back. You see, the first time he came as a babe in a manger, the next time he'll return as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The first time he came as a child, this time, friend, he'll come as a mighty warrior. The first time he rode a donkey into Jerusalem, this time out of heaven, he'll be riding a white stallion with a sword in his hand as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The first time he stood before Pilate. This next time in heaven, Pilate will stand before him. At the first coming, Jesus was rejected. But when he comes back again, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. At his first coming, he wore a crown of thorns. At his second coming, he'll wear the royal diadems of all glory. When he came the first time, he walked on the water. When he comes back again, he'll split eternity and time in half when he steps out of the clouds of glory to gather his own. Friend, when that happens, the laws of gravity, time, and space will lose their hold on the church and we'll lift off from this earth. And forever, we're going to instantly be on the shores of heaven. Forever and ever, we're going to be with our Lord. Listen, when that happens, Hollywood and all the glitz will be replaced. What's coming into town is not another scandal, not what's coming in, another harassment case. What's coming in when Jesus sits on the throne is righteousness and holiness and godliness. It's a kingdom with no sin. It's a kingdom with no baggage. It's a kingdom where everything is made new. Let me tell you something. When Jesus comes back, the Republicans are out. The Democrats are out. In fact, all of Washington will be out as Jesus Christ sits upon the throne as the ruling King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Friend, I declare to you today, he is the Prince of Peace. Wars and famines will cease. Violence will stop as Jesus sits on the throne. Sickness will be gone as Jesus sits on the throne. Sorrow and weeping will be gone as Jesus sits on the throne. Friend, he is the Prince of Peace, but let me bring it down a little closer to home today. He is your Prince of Peace. Oh, friends, I could tell you a lot of things. I could tell you a lot of things that he is, But I want to declare to you today, he's the Prince of Peace. The world can't give you peace. Listen, another relationship won't get you peace. More money in your pocket won't give you peace. Changing the things around you won't give you peace. Another drink won't get you any peace, because you're going to wake up tomorrow, and when the stupor's gone, you're still going to feel the same pain. Another fix won't get it, my friend. Another job, another house, another family won't get you peace. There's only one place you and I are going to get peace, and that is the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Friend, he doesn't just contain peace. He is peace. Jesus is the embodiment of peace. And so what happens when I welcome him into my life to be my Lord and Savior? When I say, Lord, I need you in my life, you know what he does? He comes in and brings peace. Because he's there, peace is there. Because he's residing there, peace resides there. He is the Prince of all peace. My prayer today is that I would declare to you who he is. Listen, he's not just a good person. He's not just a nice Christmas story. You know, right now, everything's about Christmas and shopping and Santa Claus and Rudolph and Frosty and all those good little stories. And they're all fun. I remember Paul and I were talking the other day about when we were kids watching Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And we'd watch the claymation cartoons on Frosty the Snowman and all those stories. And they were all good stories. And, you know, I look back as an adult. I look back on those days with some good feelings. I remember those things as a kid. But I want to tell you, this thing about Jesus is not just a good story. When you see the manger set up and you see a nativity set up, listen, it's not just about a good story that we can tell people. The reason there is a manger, the reason there's a stable in Bethlehem, is because God sent his Son into the world to save us. The reason Jesus came, the reason for Bethlehem, is we were lost in sin. We were lost in our ways. We were lost in our old habits. We were lost in our old sinful ways. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, the reason the Son of God was made manifest was that he might destroy the devil's work. He wants to destroy the devil's work of sin in your life. He wants to destroy the devil's hold on your life with old habits. He wants to destroy the hold that those secret sins have kept on your life. Jesus Christ wants to be the answer for your life. Jesus came to turn things upside down. He came to change everything. This is a world today with not a lot of hope, isn't it? There's a lot of confusing things going on. And the truth is, man, I'm thankful to live in America, but right now in America, it's a confusing time, isn't it? We kind of have the sense right now in America, who can you trust? We kind of have the sense, you know what, we put these people in places of leadership over us, and man, who can we trust? Because they've broken that trust. In America, we're kind of in a state of floundering right now. I think it's hard to get behind people because you don't know where those people are going to lead us right now. Let me tell you, friend, Jesus Christ is nothing like the example that you're seeing in America and around the world today. Jesus Christ will never lie to you. Jesus Christ will never let you down. There'll never be an accusation. There'll never be a scandal against Jesus Christ. He has always been true. He has always been faithful. He has always been just. He has always been loving. He has always been the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is not like men. Jesus won't fail you. He won't give up on you. He won't let go of you. He'll keep you. And friend, he won't walk away from you, but he'll stay stand right beside you. Jesus Christ is the very best thing that could ever happen to our lives. So this Christmas, let's go past the good stories. This Christmas, let's go past just the manger in the stable in Bethlehem. My question to you today is, what do you need from Jesus Christ? Do you remember when we started reading the passage there in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7? Verse 6 says this, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given." The gift has been given to you. The gift has been given for whosoever will may come. The gift has been given for those that are freely received. The Bible says to those who receive him, he gave the right to become the sons and the daughters of God. Jesus Christ is the great gift that's been given. May I ask you today, in this Christmas season, what do you need from Jesus? What do you need from Jesus? Friend, do you need forgiveness of sin? Do you need forgiveness of sin? Do you need help breaking an old sinful habit that seems to attach itself to your life? Do you need from Jesus a healing in your body? Do you need from Jesus healing in your mind, your will, and your emotions? Do you need Jesus Christ to help you walk through a valley that you're finding yourself in right now? Can I ask you this? What do you need from Jesus? What do you need from him? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, Lord, I come to you today. And Father, I boldly ask you today that, Father, in this place, Lord, that you would minister today to every heart. You would minister today to every life. Lord, there are people in this room today, Lord, that are walking through situations and they're walking through circumstances, God, that are too big for them to handle. Lord, they're walking through things they don't have answers to. Lord, they've been wrestling with some things, and God, they just can't seem to get victory over some of those areas that seem to drag them back. In fact, Lord, there may be some today. There's some today, I believe, Father, in this place. You brought them here today. And Lord, they're away from you today. Lord, their relationship with you today is not what it once was and not what it used to be. They've been chasing after some other things. Today they'd say, Lord, I'm away from you today. Friend, if that's you, I want to tell you, he loves you so much. He has not given up on you, but he still loves you. And Father, I pray for them today. Lord, I pray that you'll draw them by your Holy Spirit. Lord, would you just remind us today, God, how much you care for us, and yet you have a purpose and a plan for us. So, Lord, whatever need they may be facing, Lord, you're bigger than our need. You're stronger than our difficulties. You are the answer to every question. You're the solution to every problem that faces us. Lord, today, I just pray, Father, today in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'd minister to each life and each heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand with me today? Thank you, Jesus. Friends, all I can do is declare to you today who he is. All I can do today is to tell you who he is and what he can do. I believe with all of my heart there is nothing that our God cannot do. And so, friend, I don't know what you may be facing today. I don't know what maybe has confronted your life. I don't know what's going on, but he knows. Maybe you're at a place today, you say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done, and I don't think God will listen to me anymore. Friend, He'll never give up on you. He'll never give up on you. He'll never give up on you. Whatever you need, He is the answer. He is the answer. This morning, I'd like to pray with you today. No matter what the need is, whether you need healing or you need wisdom, you need strength, you need salvation, you need His forgiveness. No matter what the need is, I'd love to have the opportunity today to pray with you. I just want to tell you, the situation may seem big, but it's not bigger than our God. He's the mighty God today. As Paula begins to sing, friend, if you'd like prayer today, I'd like to ask you to step out from where you're at. And if you would join me and meet me here at the front of this church, I'd love to have the opportunity to pray with you today and believe God today for your life and your circumstances. If you'd like prayer today, would you come as she sings this morning? If you'd like prayer, I'd love to have the opportunity to pray with you today.
Still. our hands to Jesus, to lift our hands to Jesus and tell you, Lord, thank you so much, God, for this wonderful day, God, that we've had in your presence. God, for the freedom to be able to come into this house, God, and to proclaim you. For the freedom to be able to sing, to shout, to pray, to lift our hands. God, may we never take it for granted. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our Prince of Peace. And God, I just pray for every single person today that's here, that God, you would be their Prince of Peace in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you so much today. And God, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just be each the strength to each person. I pray, God, you would help them to stay faithful to you, God. And I speak blessing over their life in the name of Jesus. We pray all these things in your name, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for coming today. Jerry and I love you guys so much. And I pray for you every week that you would stay strong in Jesus, that you would cling to the cross and shun sin, that you would be people of the word and strong people of prayer. Don't let anything or anyone try to get you off track. Stay on track with Jesus this week. Amen. God bless you. We love you. It's good to see all of you. God bless you.